Marketing is a battlefield. Trends shift, strategies evolve, and only the bold stay ahead.
So, how do you cut through the noise and make an impact?
Welcome to the Marketing Pulse Podcast, where we decode marketing one powerful conversation at a time.
Hosted by Mukwemba Mangangu, Tukia Tambatamba, and me, Grace Gondwe, we bring you insights, strategies, and real talk on what's shaping the industry.
Ready? Let's get into it.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Grace.
Hi, Mukwemba.
Hi, Grace.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How
guys,
are you doing?
There's a jingle in my head.
Oh, no.
There's a jingle.
What jingle?
You know
now?
How the currency has changed?
Yeah.
Series 500 kwacha.
200 kwacha.
100
kwacha.
Welcome to the family of our currency.
I don't know, you guys.
That's content. That is content.
It's catchy.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't, it's not your vibe.
Yes.
You remember it.
You remember
it's
it.
In your head. You know that. 500 kwacha.
Nabas.
Even in the
place.
Yes.
Let me tell you something about that choir, that particular performance.
Uh-huh.
It was a hit. I was there.
In real time.
In real time, live. And the boss choir, they're organized from the dressing to where they stepped onto the stage.
It was catching the brand.
Yes, and they did what they were supposed to do. They're supposed to educate us about the new currency.
And they did.
They did.
All the currencies were captured.
Yes.
Letting us know the series.
Yes, and the features
on the notes
itself. Mm-hmm. Yes, as well as, I think they're also sharing, there's either like a landmark
on each of the different notes. Yes,
you asked me about it. I know that because of that song.
Look at that. And so for those of you who've only listened to that bit that went viral, please go and listen to the entire song. That is content that is meant to educate, to let you know information about what the new money is looking like.
Yeah.
Mukwemba is looking at me like I'm crazy.
Anyway, all this to say that
all this
today
to say, yes.
We are discussing content marketing, okay? And content marketing is defined as a strategic marketing approach focused on creating and distributing valuable, relevant, and consistent content to attract and retain a clearly defined audience and ultimately to drive profitable customer action.
Yeah.
Okay, so all this to say, everything we put out has a goal.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a strategic goal for what the purpose of that content is.
Mm-hmm.
And that, obviously, at the end of the day, should be profitable to the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, are you just raising awareness?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's your goal of the content that's coming out? So at this point, we know that that song, the whole aspect of that content was particularly to raise awareness of the new notes that were out and to ensure that people could have a relatable jingle that...
they'll be able to make reference to, that they can make reference to, that this is what is happening with the notes, this is what they look like now.
Everyone was talking about it. Some radio stations, they're like, no, this needs to be in the top 10 of their local countdown.
Yes,
that's how big the song was.
Wow. No, sorry, this is a complete sidebar. Tukia seems to be very in touch with radio. Are we missing out on something?
Hey,
is
happening?
Radio where the content is at?
Radio is where the content is at. I'm telling you, radio is where the content is at. 10 minutes of radio, I'm telling you, can even shape up some of the conversations that you have in a day.
I see.
Yeah, you'll be aware of certain things that most people might not be.
I mean, I guess if you want to speak to specifically the Zambian content,
yes,
context,
yes,
you need to get in touch with the traditional broadcasters and what they're putting out there.
Exactly.
Okay, back to content marketing.
Back to content marketing.
I have to content marketing a strong talking point that I expect you to now view differently, or at least create a conversation out of, and that is, unlike traditional ads that interrupt, content marketing invites. So it's about providing something useful before asking for a sale.
Mm-hmm. it's almost like, well, I mean, you said it in the introduction, is it? It's objective oriented,
yes,
right? Mm. What are we trying to get towards? And because we are in the attention economy, right? Attention is the currency for, you know, selling the product, selling the service. So if you can get people's attention by giving them the information that they need, you are more likely to get a buy from them than if you just say, please just buy this, please just buy this product, or please just buy this service. I think an example we were just discussing, I was showing this to Tukia, is there's a young lady, I think her name is Tamala.
Yeah.
She says, come with me as I work towards becoming the best interior designer in Zambia. Yeah. And her whole thing is, I want to get into interior design. I'm a young person and I want to build a brand as an interior designer.
Yeah.
I know what she's doing. She's starting from scratch. She's like, hey, I know this isn't something that is big in the country.
Yes.
So what I'm going to do as I take you on this journey is show you the value of interior design. So that now when you want to build your house,
you will think
when
about,
you decide to buy your land, you'll be like, okay, there's this girl I saw on Instagram who knows a thing or two about interior design, and she's the person who I want to call. I think that's a really, really powerful example.
It's a someone very using. Powerful example, I can tell you, because if you asked me even before we had this conversation, would you recommend any interior design? I would be blank, but now I know Tamala.
Exactly.
Like, you don't know Tamala.
Exactly.
She's the best interior designer. Exactly.
Yes. And you know something interesting, and I don't know if this is something she's deliberately doing, is she's selling herself obviously broadly to whoever is on Instagram, but because she's connecting with Gen Z, in the next 5-10 years, who's going to come into money, who's going to be the people who are making buying decisions? Gen Z.
Exactly.
And she will have already built that brand through the content marketing that she's doing at the moment. I think that's really, really cool. It's a lot of foresight, actually.
No, it is. I also like how, like you said, content marketing really has evolved. If we're going to look at the traditional space, I know you mentioned something to do with traditional marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You started from like the newspapers. Mm-hmm. It started out as articles, simple blogs.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've moved to not just blogs, but people are doing vlogs.
Yes.
And social media posts, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
And now it has also evolved much further into storytelling, building trust, building value via that storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, consumers like to something that's thought provoking, especially consumers of today.
Yes,
make me think. Mm-hmm. You know, this tell me something that not something that everyone else is not going to tell me. Show me something unique. That's what we're getting into, and that's the evolution of content marketing.
Okay, so with that in mind, right, which begs the question, why does content marketing matter? Okay, so from the get-go, when you mentioned about Tamala, we get to the point where we have to think of content. One of the reasons we talk about content is because content is a long-term investment.
Mm-hmm.
So you're building a relationship before the transaction, which is exactly what you've mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So another importance of content marketing is that you also just put this out of your bag, is that you talked about you're building trust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're also reaching to a point where you're creating a level of credibility with your audience, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Then you educate your audience about your product or service, which is what Tamala is doing.
Yes.
Okay, so in one aspect, it's there's the long-term investment, but now there's the aspect of, let me teach you what's going on and
right
how you go about this process. Mm-hmm. So you're getting, because now generally, you know, the thing with some of this, some people fear to do some of these things because they're thinking, if I do it, then the person will know how to do it and then they won't want to do it.
Now, no, but they trust you.
Yeah,
you're building the trust in you.
Exactly. Yes. And that's the difference, because now people, as Tukia would simply put it, I will pay for convenience any day.
Yes.
Because it's like, yeah, sure, I can
mean,
do
you
it.
Told
do
me
I want
how to do it?
Yes.
But I want you to do it for me.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I don't want to stand up, because it's the same reason we go to a restaurant to eat sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you can cook at home.
You can cook at home, but
someone can
is that something?
Yeah.
Just to jump on that, sorry, Tukia, just to jump on that, I'm getting into LinkedIn a little bit more and just seeing, you know, what's going on there and how the landscape of content management and content creation on LinkedIn is shifting. And one of the things that is being communicated a lot on there is that consumers and even just the algorithm is shifting away from organizational pages. Like, no one is paying attention to, well, let me not say no one. People are not paying attention as much to organizations' pages. So, like, if you're talking about an organization, they have their page on LinkedIn. Previously, people would go to the page more to look for information about that. But where it's shifting to now is people are listening more to individuals in the organization who are telling stories about the organization, about the services that are there. It's shifting so much so that now, with LinkedIn themselves, for instance, their chief executives are generating content about how LinkedIn works and how you can manage the algorithm, make it work better for you, and sharing just information about their own journeys and their own work. And it speaks to that way that consumers are shifting to a more relationship-focused and trust-focused dynamic of having their decisions influenced in what they consume and what they decide to do. And I think we're actually only just seeing the beginnings of the impact of what content marketing can do.
Yes, and the same way you've presented it, right, I think it goes to the heart of the fact that now what all this is doing is it's improving brand visibility, which is one of the reasons why we do content marketing, and also helps with search engine optimization. So this content, like you say, that you're putting out, depending on how you put it, when people search for these things, they're going to find you, and your brand or your company then becomes more visible to the audience that's searching for key terms in line with what you're doing.
I think it's important to not be afraid. So this is from the marketer's perspective. Whether you're a bigger organization or you're, you know, the SME, it's very, very important to try and assess your audience and what speaks to them.
Yes.
And to make sure that you're using the right channels. Because, I gave the example of LinkedIn, but now we're talking about TikTok, you know, and how influential that is, and so on. So it's very, very important to assess what are the right channels that need to be used.
Yeah, like you said, for content to be engaging, and just to go back to what you said about the organization versus the person, it just speaks to relatability.
Yeah, yes.
It sounds more authentic if it's generated from a human being. You can see them. That's what they look like. Relatability, they probably look like you. No, I can be that person one day.
Yeah.
It's very easy for you to relate than this big organization that is posting, and you're just like, you know what? They're posting because they're trying to make themselves look good.
Yes, the voice is couched in a way
that
positions them in a certain way.
And with that engaging content, you also need to make sure that the content should it should make you feel like that particular content was made for you. It was made for you, Grace. You get what I mean? Not for everyone else. So if someone can do that and make it feel like that content was for you, you're going to be hitting the nail on its head. And it would go back to, in marketing, what we call, it's a foot in the door technique to say, if you've got one foot in the door, then you're halfway through the process of getting that particular customer. And as brand visibility, that's something that you see as a customer, that you buy into. Once you get in your foot into the door, you're almost as good as being a customer. That's what content does.
Yeah. So with what you've said, right, bringing all this to one particular key person who is your audience. I think this is some of what you're alluding to right now. So the first and most important is you have this content. Who are you trying to speak to? Okay. What are you trying to communicate? Number two, what are their pain points? Because we're trying to make it as focused and as niched as possible, to the point like where you've got your foot in the door and someone goes, this person is speaking directly to me. They're speaking to the pain point that I'm experiencing, and this is how I'll move forward. So you have that in mind. When we talk about the interior designer, at that point, they're like, I'm struggling making this place look nice. And that is their pain point. And so knowing that people have a difficulty doing that, that's when we get into that. And thirdly, what platforms do we use? What platforms do we use? Because now everything is changing. There's maybe new apps that will come on. You just can't. I mean, before, people would be comfortable enough to just, this is the information I have, I'll just put it on my website. Okay. Now you have different people consume content in different ways. Mm-hmm. Okay. So is it enough to just say it will be on TV and people will see it? Mm-hmm. Or link? So it's to an extent where even LinkedIn, people will be like, no, I won't do it on LinkedIn.
Mm.
I'll just see it on TikTok. So now you have to be dynamic in your ways. Also, maybe more importantly, when you do analytical research of where is my audience found, and if they're found on Facebook, then you know, utilize invest in that platform as much as you can.
Yeah. I think I want to just re-echo what you've said about the pain point. That is where now you need to wear that marketing cap of identifying and satisfying customer needs, even preempting them. Like sometimes you have to go ahead and identify even pain points that they don't yet know that they have, you know. You see into the future, you have this product, see into the future. What is the product doing now?
Mm-hmm.
What are avenues for things that this product can do that we don't even know yet? And how can I make this information available so that I have this customer base now, but even a broader customer base in the future? Because, you know, we found, like with services, for instance, you can design it to do this one thing, but then discover that there's value beyond that one thing that you intended it for. So that marketing mind then becomes very, very important to anticipate what the customer will need and speak to that need early on.
I have a new original Mukwemba quote.
Come on. Dropping the gems.
Content.
Let's hear it.
Content that doesn't speak to anyone specifically speaks to no one at all.
That's true. That's very, very true.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
I can write on that.
You know, I've like I said, I've been getting into LinkedIn a bit more. And I think I probably saw something, or maybe it was me who said it, that you shouldn't be afraid to segment. You shouldn't be afraid to take a stand on who your audience is. Because you're better off having a strong audience of people who buy into what you're saying, who make the buying decision, rather than having like 100,000 followers or whatever who are not your buyers, versus having, you know, 1K, 2K of people who are actually buying based on the content that you're putting out. So, you know, segmentation and picking your niche is actually a very important business decision.
Yeah. Just in addition to segmenting, I think also data capturing as well, whenever you're putting your content out there. Because like you said, you can actually be putting content out there, but you're speaking to no one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No one is really engaging with your content. So if you have a continuous habit of monitoring that data to say, okay, no, this particular content that we pushed out raised this much awareness. So it got this many people to view, and this one doesn't. You then know what to do and what not to do, when to post, when not to post, who resonates with your content, etc., etc.
Yes.
So with that targeting, with that anticipation and segmenting, you really be doing something when it comes to content marketing. Yeah.
Can I just give a tip there? A lot of these social media platforms have their individual accounts where they give information about how the algorithm is evolving. They give you information about what is working and what is not working anymore. Instagram does that periodically. LinkedIn are also doing it periodically. I don't use TikTok as much, so I'm not sure about that. But they have...
They'll tell you
at the moment, if you put out your content like this,
it
will reach this particular audience.
Yeah.
Or if you couch your content like this, it will reach this particular audience. I think an interesting one is Instagram is moving away from hashtags.
Okay.
So, whereas previously, SEO people, they use the hashtag. Now it's not working as much.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, you'll be doing your content. Hashtag this. It's not working as much. Yeah. So, leverage just those. It's free. It's free to follow those accounts on social media that will help you better position your content on those different platforms.
So, I think with that in mind, let's ensure that even as we talk to our audience, we make it clear that when we talk about content, you do need a content strategy framework, right? Like you just don't get into it. So some of the things we've already mentioned. So if we say, sum it up to what a content strategy framework looks like, is it needs to include goals. Okay. What do you want to achieve with what it is you want to say? The second one, audience, which we've discussed. Who are you targeting? The third one is what the content types. Are they blogs? Mm-hmm. Are they video reels? Mm-hmm. You know, are they newsletters? Is it a podcast like this one? Mm. Ourselves, because this, I mean, this is our content as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then we have distribution channels. We talked about social media websites. Mm. Is it, are you doing it via WhatsApp? Mm-hmm. And we just talked about how WhatsApp channels are now like
it's booming.
Are booming, and people are using them to disseminate information.
Mm.
And the other thing is what took care was also just bringing out the KPIs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Metrics to measure the success of what you're doing.
Mm.
Also going back to how do you engage with the free content that is produced by these platforms to ensure that you know that, is this a good time to reach my audience?
Mm-hmm.
How do I engage with them? And what's the best time? Because some of them will tell you, you know what, based off the previous posting, this group of people, they're usually active at 10 hours.
This time. Yeah.
So post at this time or, you know, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's important that we understand that if you random posting is not content marketing, okay, it's content hopping.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm on fire.
Talk about tooting your own horn.
Oh, no humility, no humility. But go on, go on.
Yeah. So at least that's that aspect of when we talk about content strategy and what we need, how we need to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I just add, I think we have a list of tools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, social media. But I think a tool that you shouldn't be afraid, don't be afraid to use AI. And we were having a conversation about how it can be a bit problematic.
Yeah.
We were talking about images and how there's a disconnect, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can tell, and it's getting quite good, but you can tell, like, the fingers are always wrong.
Is that your...
For me, just look at the fingers. The fingers will always...
It's the fingers.
Something will always be amiss with that. But you know what AI is good for? For creating frameworks.
Yes.
AI is very, very good for creating frameworks.
Yes.
Which can give you broadly, this is a broad strategy that you can use. Put in the stories, put in the authenticity, but allow
your brain to work.
On the important bits that only your humanity can bring to it.
Yes.
But let the AI give the framework for you and then work within the framework that way.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, I'm on fire too.
That's a very good point. Yeah, because I think I also saw the same debate on social media to say, quite a number of people are still against AI, saying they're making us lazy, they're making our brains, they're making us feel dumber, basically. But whatnot. But if you use AI as a framework, but you still have that human touch, where your brain is working.
Yes. To do what only you as a human can do.
Can do.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's the challenge that is there. I think there's also just a very lazy aspect of society that now wants to, like you've said, put the brain on pause and let this do this. Mm-hmm. But there's a power, like you've said, when we acknowledge that AI is a tool that empowers us to do better as opposed to one that replaces us.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you're able to merge the knowledge you have acquired and then use AI correctly, I mean, the results...
The power is amplified.
Exactly.
There's a multiplier
effect. It truly is. There's a multiplier effect that... Mm-hmm. And it shows when people read and see what it is you've done, there's like, okay, it makes sense. They can see everything that is naturally or uniquely you about the content that they're
that
seeing.
That you are creating.
Yeah.
Yes. I think... Well, I mean, that's the unique thing about content, is it's based on real-time experiences.
Yes.
AI can't create... experiences.
It cannot.
AI can't. You can make these things up, but people will be able to tell that this is made up.
Yeah.
But when you tell a real story about a real client who enjoyed your service and it made a difference in their life, or you tell a real story about your experience, you know, going out to deliver your service and how valuable it is, and you know the impact that your work is doing, it makes a world of difference there. And an example that is just coming to mind is, and we need to bring her back, Mono. Mono is with Medlink now. And she's doing such an amazing job bringing in, you know, her colleagues at the organization and sharing stories of how they go out and actually do the work. And that community side of things, they're doing a really, really good job building that community. You can't imagine those things up.
Yeah.
AI can't make
AI
those
will
things
not
up.
Make that thing no. up. No, it won't. And you know, because AI is digging into information that's on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think our Zambian context is as advanced with maybe the Western world.
Mm.
So the way they will perceive a story to say, maybe create, you'd say, create a social media reel, a social media vlog about experience A.
Mm.
The way they would translate it in the UK is not the same way they would translate it in China nor Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for us, like I said, our internet or our information really isn't on the internet as much. So that content now to tailor make it to Zambia becomes very, very difficult.
And I think it's a good thing somehow. It's a good thing that not all of our business is on. Because it means we have this mine of content that we can create.
You're still able to use your brain for the creativity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Awesome. How do you think you'd balance authenticity and strategy in branded content? Because remember that, like you said, you have to be real, you have to be authentic, real stories, etc., etc. But then again, you're trying to push your brand out there.
You have KPIs
to meet. How do we balance that authenticity and branded content?
I think I don't use the word we need to find the balance. Because that's literally in the question.
The question is how,
Yes. So we have the aspect of what we understand needs to happen for the brand to progress, right? On the other hand, we are saying everything we're talking about needs to get to a pain point. Okay, it needs to touch real lives and real stories. So if you know what it is you're selling and you understand your audience, my personal take on this is your focus shouldn't entirely be on your KPIs. It should be on how do you communicate what's important while maintaining the image or the essence of your brand and what you do, but now focusing on your customer. Okay, because that's now the person who we're trying to uplift in this particular situation. So what is it they're going through, and how is it that through this story can I make or create content that surely says, I understand what you're going through, and we can make this work for you based off the product that we are selling for you. So now if we continuously, because we already know that marketing generally is a long-term investment. And when we focus on KPIs and forget that marketing has a carryover effect, it creates a problem. And that's why even when we engage with the people on the finance part of it to somewhat bring to light that the return on investment will not come
immediately.
Okay, it's going to take some time because marketing has a carryover effect, and people need to somewhat soak into this, let it just sink in their heads. And when the time comes, when that pain point hits them, you're the first person that comes to mind.
I think we actually need to change how we measure. Like, just change the scale altogether. That, okay, yes, we do have KPIs. Yes, we do have, you know, numbers that we're trying to reach. But if we're talking about content marketing, it's essentially about community building, and that takes time. So if we're strictly looking at it from a traditional perspective of how much, we might not be able to get that long-term value. So I think as you create your content marketing strategy, think about what new ways can we use to measure the value that we're getting out of it. That might not necessarily be captured in, you know, sales going up right now, but can be captured in maybe just stories, you know, feedback, and, you know, impact, you know, that again, the numbers, it might not show but it can show in building those long-term relationships that can give us word of mouth, and so on.
I see. So we need to change our KPIs.
I guess you could say it like
need to change.
Managers are not going to like that.
No, they're not going to like that. And like you're saying, when it comes to building a brand, actually, it's very difficult to use numbers to measure, to say, oh, my brand has grown by this content that has been running for a month. Becomes
the trace back is not there. And even when you talk about brand value, I don't know, for smaller organizations, for the big organizations like Coca-Cola, you'll be able to say, this is the the value of the Coca-Cola brand is such and such.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But it might not be as easy for a smaller brand. Yeah. But the power of a brand is even more so important for the smaller organization because of the trust that it communicates.
Yes.
Right? So anything that you can do to build that, you want to do. And content marketing is a very powerful way to do that.
Awesome. Glad that you brought up Coca-Cola. Just to add on, which other brands or companies do you think are absolutely crushing content marketing right now?
We were just talking about the example of, and it's a very unexpected one, Red Cross and the Wood Kitchen.
Yeah.
Red Cross and the Wood Kitchen have a partnership that they've done, and they've positioned it in such a way that the Wood Kitchen have called some of their staff members, and they're sharing the experience of, oh, we do this work, and they came and they showed us, you know, in these emergency situations, this is what we need to do, and so on. And I think that was very powerful because it framed the service or the skill of being a first responder, not like in an extreme accident situation, but like here at home,
or like at the office.
Day to day, this is what would happen, you know, this is how you do the resuscitation, these are the things that you need to do. So I think that was a very, very interesting approach to content marketing.
Nice. And in terms of, because like on social media, you can see like the number of likes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. How is it doing in that particular aspect?
That's a good question. Yeah. Let me check.
In terms of like engagement, are people engaging with that yeah. particular content?
Let me just have a look.
You can actually see.
Yes.
Okay. So with while Grace is searching, we had a conversation about some betting platforms.
Yes.
Okay. So the whole aspect of them using influencers. So, because their approach is different, or well, I wouldn't say different. I mean, I think that's what everyone else is doing though.
Yeah.
So they already go to people who have an audience, and now all it is they give them an incentive and say, throw in our content in your already existing content. Let it just seamlessly be part of it. Because what some people do is they'll do their content normally, then they'll just pause like mid-video and just say something about, say, the betting company and then carry on with their thing. Yeah. And their whole thing, I think, for them is create a lot of awareness. Yes. I think at the heart of it, they do a good job at creating awareness because there's no way you don't know about it. We're talking about it, so we know about it.
Yes.
So on the other end, as to now ensuring that they actually turn those into conversions, I think that's a whole different conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't have the numbers for that. But I know lots of people talk about betting. Yeah. So
I think there's quite some conversion.
There should be a lot of conversion. And I think, like you're right, betting companies are doing a lot with content marketing. And I think them targeting comedians to start with, I think was a very smart move. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think culturally, the attitude towards betting in the Zambian context were, I think, a bit conservative.
Yes.
So bringing it as something funny was like a soft launch.
Yes.
At the soft launch. People say great content should either teach you, entertain you, or inspire you.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't do any of those, it's just noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just checked the stats for the Red Cross video. It has 127,000 plays.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
No, that's a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot.
127,000 plays.
So people are engaging in that stuff.
Yes.
Like I said.
It has reached.
When it comes to influencers, Lulu.
No, they're doing a good job. No. We should get her. We should do it.
Yeah, we know we should.
Dearest listeners. Tipempako recommendation. Someone just would like to have her on the podcast.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Yeah. And you had also mentioned InDrive.
Yes.
And the great work that they're doing with influencers. They're out there. I can testify. They're in my face.
Yes.
I know InDrive.
I'm tired.
Yes. I'm tired. I know the service that they're providing.
Mm-hmm.
They're in my face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're doing a good job of connecting with Gen Z.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing a good job of making it a lifestyle service.
Yes.
I'm going to Shani. Yes. I'm going to have lunch with my girls.
Yes.
You've seen that one, yeah? I'm going to have lunch with my girls. Shani. Oh, okay. Let me just book in drive.
There you go.
Okay. We had lunch and then we went shopping and I spent more money, but I saved because of in drive.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So they're really doing a good job. They've picked the right people.
Yes.
They've connected with the right audience. And I mean, I want to think they are capturing an audience of maybe a lot of young people who don't have cars yet, who need the convenience of getting around. So, yeah, InDrive onto something.
Oh, nice. Okay. They are now in this battle with Yango. You know, Yango became so prominent that people have almost substituted the word the language. Taxi.
Yes.
Taxi has been substituted by Yango.
For Yango.
Yeah. Just get a Yango.
It's a verb now. I'm young going.
I mean, it's synonymous with what it is it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think another important aspect is that we understand when we talk about content is understand the buyer's journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we match the content to the stage in the buyer's journey that your customer or the buyer is in,
mm-hmm.
So which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, if we talk about, say, some products or companies that come on the market,
mm-hmm.
at the very beginning, it's you have to create awareness. What is the goal of awareness?
Mm-hmm.
To get noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is why we have all these videos, the mm-hmm. reels, mm-hmm. infographics,
mm-hmm.
blog posts. When you're driving around, you're just seeing all these big posts. Because at the heart of it, people are just, let's get noticed. Okay. Then the second stage is consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now you want to build trust and educate. Mm-hmm. So you find like even maybe these taxi services,
mm-hmm.
now they're saying, look, if you use our platform,
mm-hmm.
you'll be safe. Mm-hmm. These are all the features we've put in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's educate you on the fact that no matter how you move,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be protected. You don't expect it. We know there's this story,
something
that story,
happened.
But these are the features we have put into our system to ensure that everything
mm-hmm.
is okay with you, right? And mm-hmm. so they go ahead and maybe say create some case studies,
mm-hmm.
How guides or webinars just to get people mm-hmm. comfortable. And I think this is something that they had to do even when we talk about the planes.
Because
you have people who are like, manja engine, if it stops in the air
yeah.
what happens? Now, you know, they bring all these case studies and say the percentage at which a plane crashes is probably like 1% out of 99. So let's help you focus on the 99. Whereas when you're using road, you have more accidents. Here is the data, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is decision.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal at this point is we're trying to convert leads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've already done the work.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just need them to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Now we come in with our testimonials.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this. And I think a group of people that do this very well also is betting companies, because they'll put that huge sum of money.
Yes, and be the like, person yes. holding
exactly.
The thing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Half a million kwacha, and you're like, yo.
Maybe me too. Yes. Yeah.
So based off that, I mean, you're driven. Now you're like, okay. Because at that point, they've got you and all these testimonials, just see with the deal and
mm-hmm.
it's time to move forward.
I think speaking to the InDrive example, they show you even how to use, like, go here, download the app.
Yeah.
Then when you download the app, you create whatever, an account and whatever. All of that step by step is taken care of. And the user, by the time they've consumed all of this content, they know where to find the app. They know how to download it. They know how to use it. It's really just about them making the decision and you being able to close that sale.
I think another important aspect also that we need to put into consideration for our case is the local context, okay? This is for all content marketers in Zambia. If you're doing content in Zambia, you have three of the most used platforms.
Mm-hmm.
We have Facebook, we have WhatsApp, we have TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also need to be wary because all these things are changing and being dynamic. At the rate at which WhatsApp is going, it's about to become an all-encompassing app, okay? Where you can find your news there,
mm-hmm.
you can have your conversations,
mm-hmm.
and now it's also channels where other companies are being, they have the ability to now just like send multi messages to everyone that has ever sent them a message
mm-hmm.
through their app, and they just send almost like a blog post or an article that you'd receive in your mail, and now they're able to do that to the point where if you don't receive it, you can just block, and so you don't want to get notified the same way you would receive these like articles in your mail. So us being very, because in Zambia, I don't think, whereas people can be like, ah, I'm not on TikTok, ah, I'm not on on
everybody Facebook, has WhatsApp.
Almost everyone that has a smartphone
Everybody has WhatsApp.
And you need to now understand, how do I leverage my knowledge of WhatsApp? Like, what
how can I make it work? Yeah.
Because the problem is, we have this thing where we never... I mean, it's a worldwide thing. Say, for instance, if you buy a new phone, how often do you read the manual of what your phone can do? Do you even understand? I'd like
you
to believe
it out as you go.
You only use
the terms and
conditions. I actually believe you only use less than 30% of what that phone is capable of doing. Okay, now you think of how much more could you actually do if you sat down and said,
how does this actually
read
work?
What features actually exist on WhatsApp that can take me to a whole new level and get ahead of the game?
Yeah.
And that, I mean, all that needs you to be very intentional and deliberate. If you don't do it, you miss out. Okay, so we need to understand how we use these different platforms. And another issue is because we also look at data affordability. Obviously, all this affects content. So if you're in our Zambian culture, you know that if you're producing high-end videos, not that you shouldn't, but that could just affect, depending on who your target market is, that could affect the ability to watch,
Yeah.
So maybe the complaint is internet is not good here. And then you have like a video which is maybe like 4K. At
4K. 8K.
How are they going to watch it? And by the time they finish the video, the data is finished. Now they deliberately start deliberately avoiding your content because they're like, nah, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And my bundles is not enough. Yeah.
Yeah, those are some really, really good considerations. I guess ultimately, as an organization, as a marketer, identify who your audience is. Identify, like Mukwemba has emphasized, what those pain points are, and just start. You know, just start, whether it's you as an individual, somebody from the team, you know, a day in the life of, you know, this particular, come and make the product with me, you know, things like that will build that relationship of trust and begin to build that community for you.
You know, one thing I found interesting lately is we have this notion of, or there's been this notion of, people tend to want to look at people who speak good English as being some higher level of society. So to say.
Sure.
But when it comes to content, especially locally, people who are able to infuse local languages, I guarantee you, those guys have more views than someone who decides. For instance, you can start with comedy. If you're going to do your comedy in English and compare yourself with someone who's going to do comedy in the local language, it's not a competition. So you find that when you listen to these guys, there's a lot of vernacular, there's a lot of Nyanja, Bemba, or even others. There's that guy who does Tonga. I mean, I don't understand it, but clearly you can see that people who understand are engaging fully.
Yes.
Okay, so we understand that in Zambia, in our context, if you're depending on the type, obviously, all this depends on the type of content that you're doing, right? So, especially if you're in humor and things like that, I think local language is a good way to go. Also, depending on your audience, because you find a lot of Gen Zs maybe are the ones who are more like, maybe I don't understand. So all this going back to audience, local humor, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And when people are also in a position to, when your content presents real issues that people are facing today, I think people easily relate. You're talking about the economy, you're talking about how hard it is to maybe say get transport or anything like that. If people can relate to you and what you're saying, people fully engage, you have them locked in. And that at the heart of it should be the power of what our content should be able to do.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, you just reminded me of something when you're talking about that. To say
like you're saying, content gets you into the door, and it's almost like just having a conversation with someone. Like, imagine you had to have a conversation with someone. Like, what's my starting point? Mm-hmm. And you're talking about how the economy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just go in a bus and just pass just a comment.
Complain.
Just a comment.
And you guys know what the comment is.
Yes.
And you,
yes.
We don't even need to say it here.
Yes.
Whatever you thought.
Whatever you thought. Yes.
That one.
Yes. Whether it's your inability to iron at home, at your own time.
Whether it's the price of the bus fare going up.
You know that, you know what, you're going to engage with someone.
Yeah. So look at Facebook like your bus.
Yeah, and you just want to have a conversation.
Look at it like you're on the bus and you just want to share the sorrow with somebody.
And share the sorrow.
We're a very community-focused country, and I think that can that can work to serve us well. Okay. Final thoughts?
No, even before, just as we get to, as we're closing, okay, I think some common mistakes we should avoid when we're dealing with content. Number one should be inconsistent posting. Okay. Mm. When you decide, this is what you're doing and how you're going to engage, you need to be consistent. Mm. Okay. Because people will follow you. They'll start engaging with your content. And when you stop, now it's like they'll come to your page expecting to find something. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. Mm. We'll try again tomorrow. There's nothing. You come back after 6 days. Mm. They find something. You do that, you come 2 days. Mm. Hey, 10 days, two weeks, 3 weeks. And I think that's something that even we
need
as much
to work
as,
on,
like in as much as we're having better. These conversations, like we can also do better. Mm-hmm. So we took you on a very long break when we went for the end of the season.
Yeah,
that's something we shouldn't be doing. Like we should be in a position to be as consistent as possible so that every time you come to find our content, you know, it's available for you just as we promised it would be.
Yeah.
Okay. We have to avoid, especially if you're trying to get people to buy into something, avoid too much selling if you're not presenting enough value. Okay. When
Directs,
people are being, when people are being sold to too much, they somewhat start to retreat because now it's like,
forcing
the
issue.
It's like this person's literally forcing my hand.
Yeah.
You need to stop ignoring analytics. They are there for a reason.
Yeah.
See how people are engaging with you. How long are they on your product? Do people leave the first 5 seconds of into your video? Because all those are available, right?
Yeah.
Because you post a video, 5 seconds in, they'll tell you most people left at 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So then the question is, what do you do? Yeah. What do you change in your
working?
First 5 seconds?
Yeah.
Okay. How can you make it better? Then copying competitors without adapting.
Mm.
Now, I don't know what your opinions are. My belief is that in the good Bible, it says there is nothing new
under the sun.
The sun.
So there's nothing wrong with copying.
No, I believe, actually, if you're starting,
I'm
saying
take the
copy.
Template. Yeah.
Look at what someone is doing. Start.
Take the template.
But as you go on, your uniqueness
should
needs to come
to,
into that.
Yeah.
Maybe you just needed that to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that person probably also got from someone else and then they said to adapt as time went on.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can do that for ourselves, it just helps us. Just don't stay, because the problem is if you decide you're going to be copying completely, the person who is smart enough to adapt is going to transcend to a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And now when people expect you to come to that level, you find it difficult because now you've not been able to present yourself in your uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that's very, 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 very important. And finally, not repurposing content across channels.
Yeah. With the way content is evolving, the way people interact with content is also evolving. So like I gave the example of Instagram and LinkedIn and them giving tips on how to position content so that people consume it more. Instagram has what they're calling carousels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a post, someone is saying something, but you slide through. This is what I didn't know. Then the next slide, then they say the first thing, then the next slide.
Ah.
So you are, I don't say forced, but that way, because you want to hear the post or you want to see what they're saying.
Yes.
So you stay and you slide through
the segment.
So it has sort of has a way of keeping people with the content more, maybe even than video would be able to, where they would just be like, this is not, let me just scroll. Let's
scroll down.
Yes. Yeah. So Instagram now, carousels are doing well there.
Okay.
LinkedIn is talking about video beginning to do well there. And they're saying it's because millennials and Gen Z are coming into the workforce,
mm-hmm.
and millennials and Gen Z are more about video content.
Visuals, yeah.
So you can't say, because this is a post that I used on Facebook, that I'll post it on LinkedIn, yeah. it might not work. Or that this is something I posted on LinkedIn and then it will go to my Instagram and do well. Yeah. It might not do well. So leverage on those resources of just listening to what is the app doing, what is the algorithm doing, and how can I capitalize on that?
Yes, and we can't end this conversation without at least mentioning tools that can help you, some mm-hmm. of which we mentioned. Say, mm-hmm. for instance, you've got ChatGPT,
mm-hmm.
and also, I mean, lots of people just know ChatGPT, but
there's so many
different forms of AI.
There's Claude.
Yes,
there's Notion. Perplexity. Yes, Notion for planning purposes is a really good one.
So whatever it is you need to do, you need to find a way in which you plug into this, know how you can do it, help you with brainstorm ideas, mm-hmm. captions. Then we have CapCut, mm-hmm. if you're into short form videos, mm-hmm. or even long videos.
Yeah.
Tukia loves using CapCut.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Canva, mm-hmm. you know, for your design graphics and videos as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to do that. We've got your Meta Business Suite.
Very cool tool.
Very cool. I mean, just to be in a position where you don't have to, if you can put your content together, schedule it.
Yeah.
Okay. 3-8 months in advance, and you just sit down because
it's just coming out.
You just do your work, put it together, put it out, and you can focus on other things. And then you have Unsplash and Pixels, okay, mm-hmm. where you have free images depending on what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Finding that for having conversation about that.
Talking about Shutterstock.
And how, you know, just people tend to misuse. I think you need to be smart
about how you use it and how you go about doing it. I think if you're looking to build authentic community, try as much as possible to use with imagery
that people can relate to.
You can't come and sell to a Zambian market and then there are only people of other races in your image, yeah. you know. So be intentional about how you choose and what kind of imagery you use. And honestly, I'm getting to a point where I would prefer a low res of what's real than high res of what you just got, which is Shutterstock, and definitely not like AI generated.
Exactly. Like, even when you see a poster, like, you have to be like, that family looks good, but they don't look like families I see on a daily basis.
They don't. So, it's like, I don't feel connected. I don't feel like is the product that I can use. There's also Edit. Instagram have made their own video editing tool.
Oh, okay.
Yes, which is called Edit. So that's one that you can add to your arsenal as well.
So with all this that we have given you, we hope that all this information can help you or catapult you to the next level of your content marketing. And please, as always, please reach out to us on social media if you have any queries, conversations, or there's someone you'd like us to have on the guest where we're ready to engage with you. Mm-hmm. I know we receive a couple emails here and there.
Yeah.
So it's always interesting to hear people's thoughts and what they think. Your mm-hmm. feedback is important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to do our best to ensure that we can continue and continuously make the best content we can
mm-hmm.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
So from me and the team, remember
to keep your finger on the marketing pulse. We hope that you have enjoyed today's episode just as much as we have.
Till next time, remember to keep your finger on the marketing pulse.